We're going to do a little talking this evening about what Paul had to say to Timothy. And everyone is doing well. And we're going to start out with a prayer this evening. And then we're going to get into some heavy talking with Paul. So if I can have your attention, we'll bow our heads here. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, we come to you this evening as believers with a strong faith in you, especially when we study your word and the meaning of the words that you used in your scriptures. It only makes us more confident and stronger in our faith when we read them. Each one of us body believers are looking forward to our hope and being in your presence in the heavenlies. Father, help each one of us to pursue and to understand your will for this dispensation that we're presently in. We were asking that we could recognize that there is a distinct difference that come about at the end of the book of Acts that we can definitely recognize and take advantage of. I ask you, Father, to be with the leaders of our country, that they will make wise decisions in accordance with your will. And I'm asking you to be with the speaker this evening as he shares your word out of the book of 2 Timothy. And let us all be able to grow in your will. In your precious name we pray. Amen. This evening we're going to start out with 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse. We're going to take off. We finished the first verse the last time. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. To Timothy, my dearest, from God, Father in Christ. Now, most everyone knows that the person to whom Paul is writing this epistle to is Timothy. Timothy originally lived in Lystra, which is located in modern Turkey. Timothy apparently became a follower of Paul when Paul visited that city on Paul's missionary journey. Timothy's mother was a believing Jewish Christian woman, and his father was a Gentile. I never have read much about him, his father, but Timothy was highly thought of by believers in the Lystra area. Now, might I say, Timothy, and what was he known for? Tony, I'm not only a couple of these, I'm going to give you the whole. But you know, in Romans chapter 6, refers to Timothy, my worker. In 2 Corinthians, Timothy is referred to as a in Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, Timothy is even referred to as a servant of Christ. Now here's one you would look up, Philippians 2, verse 22. Philippians 2, verse 22. Paul writes, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son of the Father, he has served with people. Now, the English word proof, which is Strong's number 1382, was based on Timothy's testing. Philippians had observed, especially when it came to well-being and how he had served and how he had with Paul in the spreading of the gospel. And what Paul is telling the Philippians about Timothy here only confirms what they already knew about Timothy, first-hand observation. Also in Philippians chapter 2, Paul even handed out the highest possible compliment to Timothy, as referring to Timothy, he is like mother. He's an equal who will naturally kiss. Paul was implying that Timothy put the seeking things of Jesus Christ, he put them first. And moving on into 1 Timothy, Timothy is referred to a genuine child or my own son in the faith. In 2 Timothy, Timothy is referred to as my dear loved son. Writings, Paul made reference. Second one. And, Tony, if you'd look this up, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Only two times in Paul's writings, Paul made reference to Timothy as his beloved son. The other place is the one we're just going to read here. It says 4:17. For this cause have I sent you, Timotheus, who is my beloved son. Timothy is also a faithful child who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul uses the word beloved here to describe Timothy as the object of being someone who was worthy of his love. Also, Paul speaks of Timothy as being a faithful, trustworthy, and dependable individual. Now, these two words, loved and worthy, also describe Timothy as a person in the Lord. Tony, if you'd go to 2 Timothy 3:10-11. 2 Timothy 3:10-11. Verse 10. But thou hast fully known my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 11. Persecutions which came into Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now let's look at the second part of our verse here that we're looking at here, this 2 Timothy 1:2. It says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord. You've got to keep in mind that Paul's standard greeting in 11 of his 14 epistles contains the two words grace and peace. The epistle to the Hebrews has no formal greeting, but it does contain the words peace and grace in the closing statement. Now, the greetings in both of Paul's and Timothy add the word mercy. When you really think about it, we usually grace with the God the Father, that grace has its origin in God is pretty well established in the scriptures. We would primarily link mercy with God the Father. It appears that peace most logically refers to that which Jesus Christ, God the Son, has provided. The grace and mercy of God has provided peace through the redemptive work of Jesus. In other words, God in his mercy and his grace provide sacrifice for Calvary, that we might have peace through his blood. Okay, we're going to move on now. We'll go to the 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. Thank God, whom from my forefathers, with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer, night and day. Now here we got Paul trying to impress on Timothy the fact that he had not forgotten him, but that Paul is constantly remembering Timothy. Paul opens this verse with the word, I thank God. Now the word thank is Strong's 485, could also be translated, I have grace, or I have gratitude, or I have favored God. Now, Paul is telling us here that Paul, has a huge and grateful spirit of gratefulness and thankfulness for who God is. God has done. It literally gives us an idea of the depth of meaning as to how Paul really felt about the situation. I want you to keep in mind, as it tells us here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, that the God to whom Paul is praying is the same God Paul had continuously served from his with a pure conscience. Now, this statement here that Paul makes takes back to Paul's earlier. Paul was with his mother, and when he was at the mill, it was a time when Paul learned about the God of the old, and it was also when Paul was a young fella. If you remember what Paul told us in Galatians about his religious studies and how he was very serious among those ahead of his class. Tony, if you would look that up, that Galatians chapter 1, and this is sort of how he did, a youngster and a young person, and he was learning about the Jewish religion. In verse 13 it says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. I persecuted the church of God beyond measure. I tried to destroy it. Advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. Now, being very exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." So he really got into it, and he gave it everything he had. But everything you read about Paul, all through all his books, this was something that was built into him, and he hung there and gave it all he had. While Paul was serving God with his information on Judaism, Paul was very clear. And Paul was doing what and in addition to it, he did it with a clear conscience, according to his words in 2 Timothy 1:3. Now, Tony, if you would take us to 1 Timothy 12 through 16. 1 Timothy 1, okay, verse 12. "Thank Christ Jesus our Lord, and enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Verse 16, "How for this, because I, Christ, might show sufferings for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to have to life everlasting." As Paul is telling us here in this particular reading, that he did it in verse 13, and in verse 16 it says Paul obtained mercy because Paul did it in unbelief, and he did it with a pure and clean conscience. A conscience was not condemned him, has not condemned the basis of the knowledge that Paul had at the time. Prior to the time of Paul being saved on the Damascus Road meant business when it came to doing it for God. In our 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul may have had a pure conscience in his state of ignorance, but in his ignorance he was still. Paul was someone who had both a thankful attitude toward God and who pure conscience. Berea says, "Without ceasing, remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Paul says that he was without ceasing. Now that's Strong's number 88, which literally means when he talks about without ceasing up or without giving up, certainly in remembrance of Timothy. Now the word here, remembrance, which is Strong's 13, when this particular Strong's word is used, notice that it is always used in connection with prayer. We find in Scripture that Paul was constantly mentioning Timothy in his supplications, requests. Paul let up on his or on behalf of Timothy. This certainly emphasizes the fact that Paul was a man of prayer, as it tells us that Paul was constantly in prayer both night and day. Now, let's go to our next verse, 2 Timothy 1, chapter 4. 2 Timothy 1, 4. Greatly be thee full of thy tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Paul begins this verse 4, by saying that he was really desiring to see Timothy. Now, the word desiring is Strong's 1971, which literally means that Paul, he longed after her greatly. The bottom line was Paul was really wanting to see Timothy in person. Paul was eagerly and sincerely desiring to see Timothy. And Paul wanted to share some thoughts, and he wanted to fellowship with Timothy. Paul really wanted to help Timothy deal with some of the issues facing, and he wanted to do it on a face-to-face basis. But for reasons known to us, not possible, that Paul abruptly drops the subject. Still in Ephesus, a place where Paul couldn't even think of going to at this time. Paul's trial, plus the distance from Rome to Ephesus, was about 1,250 miles. So that's quite a little hike. The next statement Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 4, is being mindful of thy tears. Now, tears, this is Strong's number 4. Three times Paul mentioned tears in connection with his own ministry. It's interesting for me that two out of the three times that Scripture uses the word tears, and when they were shed, was while Paul was ministering at Ephesus, the place where Tim was ministering. Since Timothy was a sensitive young fellow and very closely tuned to the Lord's will, it really just the physical tears that is what impressed Paul. It was Timothy's love, Christ, and the compassion for the lost that was behind them. At the end of verse, Paul goes on to say that the reason he took time to remember Timothy's tears was so that I may be filled with joy. Got to imagine him being in jail, all the things that were going wrong, and this was one thing that gave him delight. As Paul took time to look back on the sensitivity of Timothy to Christ, the genuineness of Timothy's character, the depth of Timothy's commitment, as expressed by Timothy's tears, it caused Paul to stop, rejoice, and thank God for such a true co-worker or partner. Because during this particular time in Paul's life, Paul was faced with a lot of unfaithfulness on the part of several of his followers who had early supported Paul's ministry. An example, and I'm going to cover these better later on, but I got three of them here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Tony, 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. I'm going to get something to drink here. Verse 15, thus this thou knowest, that all they which were in Asia be turned away. I'm telling you, when I was selling seed for a living and followers, if I had lost several of my guys and my customers, man, that hurt. But here's a minute. You got to keep in mind, Paul was putting his life on the line to tell this story, this filled story, and that all those in Asia turned away from Paul. Be tough. 2 Timothy 4. Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved the world, and is departed from Asia. Titus and Domitius. Now, since this is the only place that I can find any word was ever, his name was ever used, and he was the one that was at work, and when they turned their back, they forsaken him. This was forsaken Paul. Why? Because Demas loved the present world more than the messy Paul. The last one here, I want you to, Tony, to look up is 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all men me, I laid to the trial in Rome. No, Paul wrote that all the word forsake in 1559, which means deserted. Deserted him. He was by himself. In the midst of all of Paul's experiencing unfaithfulness from his own team, which certainly must have been very depressing to Paul, he used his reminiscing about Timothy's faithfulness to fill him with joy. You know, I would bet that concerned about Timothy even backing out. I mean, there some evidence of that, but been really tough. But he was reminiscing about Timothy's faithfulness with joy to help Paul to make full and complete with joy. For the next verse, 2 Timothy 1. When I call 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfaith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy godmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, in thee also. As Paul was thinking about these tears, what was actually behind her were obviously several worthy characteristics that came to Paul's mind. But the one that stood out most was Timothy's faith and Timothy's faithfulness. The word remembrance, Strong's number 5280, literally means that Timothy's faith was brought to mind and remembered as being outstanding. Paul writes about, which we're talking, real, genuine here. It's number 41102 for the word faith refers to Christ and faithfulness to Jesus Christ and his word for the church, which is his body. Paul had been used at this particular point to be persuaded that Timothy's faith was for real, like that of his grandmother and his mother. Okay, Tony, we're going to go to 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:6. Skip about there. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God according to the here in verse 6, apparently these real and genuine faith. The question is that this faith tied together with the gift which had been given to Timothy. Reason or cause behind what Paul is about to say to Timothy is he had been given and he had been given remembering what had been given Paul remembrance to stir up the gift of God. The English words literally means to remember or mind. All that Paul is doing is trying to reflect back to remember the time that was recognized that Timothy had a special gift from. I think about this. I think about that it was a solemn occasion when the responsibility of exercising the gift was finally on Timothy. Well, Tony, this is going to be a rough. If you'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6, 1 Timothy 6 through 16. Put the brethren in remembrance.
1 Timothy 4.
Okay, you got 2 Timothy, kiddo. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 16. 1 Timothy. Thank you. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be of Jesus Christ, nourished of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather into godliness. For bodily exercise profits little. Godliness is profitable unto all, having promise of that which is to come. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all exception. Verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust God, who is the Savior of all believe. Verse 11. These things you are, no, let's do it this way. Timothy, these things you are, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Verse 13, Timothy, until I come, give attention, this could be each one of us here tonight, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not dictate the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophet, with a laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that your profit may be evident to all. Take to yourself to the doctrine, continue in them, doing this you will save yourself, and that hear you. So, quote, stir up, in definition. The gift literally means dormant fire, or to fan, you've all done that, into a flame. Paul is comparing Timothy's gift as to a dormant smoking fire. In in that condition is little or no value to anyone. Paul is wanting him to get in there and break up the ambers and to follow the Spirit, to breathe some genuine oxygen up so that it might warm the hearts of others. You know that for you to become stale, and when you're involved with teaching, a little jacking up is what he needed. And Paul get the job done. I've had some bosses like that. But I want to make some comments about 1 Timothy 4 here. Looking back on this scripture, starting until I get there, I want you to get Paul to reading, or I want you to get all the knowledge you can to exhortation, or in other words, to the anchors. And he also, until I get there, I want you to get involved in doctrine, or to sound. And in verse 14, if Timothy was concerned and threw himself into it, his progress was run. And that's every one of us in this group. Well, in King on and doing what he has been taught, the teaching ministry, Timothy is well, save himself and those hearing him. Paul refers to Timothy's gift as being a gift of God, that it belongs to God, and as Timothy's gift to use for the glory of God. I guess you could say, do other people have other special gifts? Tony, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. That's 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. In this here particular verse, it tells that every person has his proper gift of God. 1 Corinthians 7, 7, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his, and another after that. Now Paul speaks of this gift as being it is an essential part of this gift is closely who Timothy was. What does Paul mean by this? That this gift is hang on to my hands. When it hands, I'll make this very clear, that was merely a public recognition of the fact that Timothy had this gift. The act of the transmitting of this gift, very practice, confirming that he had a special gift. It must have been. I want to make it real clear that there is no scriptural basis for assuming that either Paul or Timothy received gifts, hang on to the hands and abilities. If God called them, were given to them while they were being formed in their wombs and mothers. It is true that temporary sign gifts which were linked with the nation of Israel were sometimes associated with hang on of hands. But Paul was speaking of Timothy had is not specified. But plenty of evidence to suggest that Timothy was gifted of teaching. Tony, if you 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we're moving on again. Thank you. Just a second. Second Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It's three things. The spirit of love, and the spirit of sound mind. Instead of Timothy exercising his gift of teaching, the gospel of God's grace, Timothy was apparently to this spirit of... Now this word, Strong's 1167, saying here, this is the only that this Greek form is used. It literally means fearfulness or fright, and this is not given to us. It means to have or to be nervousness. Very clear to Timothy, this particular spirit of fear. There is another word for fear that is commonly used in Scripture, and I'm going to let's look one up here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John 4, 18. There is fear. Now this word fear in this particular verse is Strong's 5401 in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has, he that feareth has love. The believer who has a right relationship with God will definitely be willing to teach. And when it comes to fear, there are three very important points that God provided for Timothy, and God provides for all of us believers, as it tells us in 1:7, God provides us a spirit of power. Remember what about Paul's thorn in the flesh? If you look up 2 Corinthians 9 through 10, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Verse 9, and he said unto me, is of thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most rather of glory, please, that the Christ may rest upon me. Paul knew from personal experience the truth. Verse 10 it says, therefore take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and disloyalty. When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's ministry depended on the power of God. Also, Timothy also must learn to experience the same power in his teaching ministry. The second point, these 3 points, 2 Timothy 1:7, God provides, unless his ministry is motivated, prompted by love, he or she is a noisemaker. Paul says for all ministries. In Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him as the head, even Christ. We need to both love the truth that we have been given, and we must love when we teach it. Point. 2 Timothy 1:7. Sound thinking. Strong's 4995 for sound thinking literally means to be safe, sane, all body, unminded. Going to end it there for tonight, and I was thankful that I could be here tonight. And I want to thank Tony for your patience in looking the scriptures up. We're going to finish with a prayer here. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, help us, Father, to put into effect in our own personal lives what is written in these Pauline epistles. Sometimes they may not want to hear, but this is what God wants out of us. We are thankful for Paul's God-given message. As we get filled with the full knowledge, truth, help us to act on this information and to do it your way. In your name we pray. Amen.